Here, Dharma friends, first I would like to thank concerned people who have organized this thing, this opportunity. They really did hard work. So I must thank. And now, here, I am going to explain about the Buddhism which we practice and study. It seems the Buddhism which we practice is a complete form of Buddhism. So now here I explain in Tibetan, and my friend will translate. Through that way, it can better explanation. If I try explain through my own English, then because my English is poor, so Buddhism also become poor. So it is far better to express through Tibetan.
First of all, over the first 2 days, today and tomorrow, I'll be giving a more academic type of explanation. On the third day, I'll be speaking specifically about a Buddhist practice and will perform a ceremony concerned with developing the aspirational intention to become enlightened. I'm thinking today not to speak from a specific text, but to speak directly about several issues. Among the audience, there must be some who have done quite a bit of study already, and others who have not done so much study in Buddhism. Therefore, I'm going to make effort at presenting a summarized and easy to understand presentation of Buddhism. As all of you know, in terms of this cycle of the teaching of Buddhism, Shakyamuni Buddha set forth or turned the wheel of the doctrine, setting forth practices for beings of the two vehicles, or the low vehicle and great vehicle, or in another way, of the three vehicles, the vehicle of hearers, the vehicle of solitary realizers, and the vehicle of bodhisattvas.
따따외차네, 좀 더 쉽지.
And from the viewpoint of the philosophical view, there are four schools of tenets.
지라마원, 도레바, 샘자부, 우마바스.
These are Vaibhashika, Sautrantika, Chittamatra, and Madhyamaka. With regard to the great vehicle or vehicle of bodhisattvas, there's a further division into two by way of differences in the factor of method. There are different ways of dividing the mantra or tantra vehicle, but in accordance with the explanatory tantra, the Vajra Panjara, there are four classes or sets of tantra: action, performance, yoga, and highest yoga tantra. Even though, of course, all of the Indian texts were not translated into Tibetan, among the great many that were, there are texts that present the philosophical views of all four schools of tenets. There are texts that present the two vehicles or three vehicles, present both the practices of sutra and tantra. In Tibet, where our foundation is that of the practice of the great vehicle, and needed for the great vehicle are those practices in the low vehicle which are common to and necessary for the great vehicle. Thus, the Hinayana or low vehicle teachings are also present. Beyond that, tantra is practiced, and within tantra, also the highest yoga tantra. Thus, Tibet has a very complete form of the practice of Buddhism.
Now, so one clear indication is when I was in Thailand, feeling that Tibetan is something, belong something different religion, this sort of thing. Then we sit together and talk, discuss about the Vinaya Sutra and Abhidhamma, like that, any Sancho Sutra.
And the 37 harmonies with enlightenment.
And some sukha, some dental sumi.
And about the four concentrations and the four formless absorptions.
And then tenshi mita suchuru.
The 16 attributes of the Four Noble Truths.
It come closer. And this common thing which to discuss. So it shows there is common practice.
Yes.
Wow. Now, when we met, you see, Japanese Buddhist, you see, who practice Tantric and the Mahayana Sutra. Now, when we, you see, discuss about the how to take the Bodhisattva vow and what sort of, you see, precepts, and then you see certain sutra like Pundarika, right?
Yes, the excellent White Lotus Doctrine Sutra.
Mm. And then there is a tantric up to, you see, Yoga Tantra, the Dorjee Nyingpo.
The Vajradhatu Mandala. The Performance Tantra, the Vairochanabhi Sambodhi Tantra.
So you see, these again also common, which available in Tibetan tradition. So again you see common point to discuss, common point of, and common thing, common practice. You see, suppose one, you see, a Japanese Buddhist, one person from, you see, Japanese tradition, and one person from, you see, Theravada tradition discuss, of course, you see, Four Noble Truths, these in very general terms,
except for that very general terms, such as the Four Noble Truths, it's difficult to have a common ground.
So now, you see, that actual situation tells us that Tibetan practice is complete form of Buddhism.
Nowadays, the form of Buddhism that was practiced in Tibet has arrived in other parts of the world, such as this, and all four schools of Tibetan Buddhism, the old translation school of Nyingma, and the three new translation schools of Gagyu, Sakya, and Gelu, all four of them are emphasized teachings of the Great Vehicle, and within that are all four unions of the practice of Sutra and Tantra. And from the point of view of philosophical view, they are all Madhyamaka. And then within Madhyamaka, between the division of that into Swatantrika and Prasangika, they are all mainly Prasangika Madhyamaka.
Yeah, that the Chitanga.
That's the sort of general
introduction.
General introduction. Now, if you ask, what will I be explaining today about the Buddhist religion?
Before start talking, take something. Hmm.
So Buddha said in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra that the mind is not to be found in the mind. The nature of the mind is clear light.
So Daniel and also Tango di Duxa di Semsia de Condition, that they do.
So the first is concerned with the question of what the mind finally is. Thus one has to identify what the entity of the mind is and then analyze what its nature is and how good and bad effects come about through it. When it is said that the mind is not to be found in the mind, it's saying that in the mind means that one has identified the luminous and knowing or cognitive nature of the mind, and that if one searches then in that luminous and cognitive nature, if one did find the mind, then it would be able to bear analysis and would be truly established. But when one searches to find the mind, one does not find the mind in the mind. Since it's being said that the mind is not to be found in the mind, one might think that then the mind does not exist. But that is not the case. It says the mind is not to be found in the mind. In the mind indicates that the mind is the basis of analysis, that it does exist. But when it's said that the mind is not to be found in the mind, this means that mind, or the mind, is not the final mode of subsistence of the mind.
Da tether and sim rangshin ji tongbe da chini rangshin jian de ni cha ni ye ba yin du zan ne ani de ge sim li ya le ji ge chime gyen di ye de de ru yin ba le lu guo yin ba le.
Thus, since the mind has the nature or final reality of being empty of an inherently existent mind, it's empty of inherent existence, the defilements that are in the mind are not there forever, but are adventitious, temporary. Once the defilements are adventitious or temporary, then it is said that the nature of the mind is clear light.
Shizan, that's it, diggy. 콜란단디 둥더소수 권에다 더더나기 저 터두기다 공부 들룰 좀 켜봐요서래 나 켜반 켜봐만 굳이 전용기
Many differences in interpretation of this statement will occur with respect to the four schools of tenets and with respect to the sutra and tantra systems.
Dijidaya, Jumdendega, the Sungshiva, the Bubushen, any Dita Kazuri, Kwakwa Lenin Reslam, Dimare, Didi, Jidaini. And the Kazuri, Shunk Sig Dutte Lia Kazumushu Kwan Damanda Lia
It's not a matter of Buddha saying something that was so vague that anyone could interpret it whatever way he or she wanted. Rather, it's a case of one statement having many explicit and implicit meanings that can be drawn in various ways. And in particular, in the mantra or tantra system, there are many ways of drawing...
Highest
yoga tantra specifically, there are many ways of drawing the meaning out of statements.
Bena, sikchili ya, yidunji shavas chik, jidunji shavas chik, ani bedungi shavas chik, kasa, tadugi shavas chik, sushi shava.
For instance, one phrase can be interpreted in terms of its literal meaning, in terms of its general meaning, in terms of its in terms of its hidden meaning and in terms of its final meaning. Now, with regard to the statement that the mind is not to be found in the mind and that the nature of the mind is clear light, I am sitting here today explaining this statement due to the workings of my own mind, and you who are listening through the workings of your mind also. This thing that we're always using and is always this mind that we're always using and is right with us is something that we don't know very well. We haven't identified it well.
Any large shepherd ten yundu, Jujutare, that you tumbu, the jambet engine, the disunyare. Zoba Sandia, Alejum, Anni, Rukunji Chok, such.
As it is said in the Tantra of Gyudutra, which is within the names of Manjushri Tantra, the perfect Buddhas arise from Ah. Ah is the supreme of syllables.
That digi, Zogba Sanja, Alejum, Anni, Rukunji Shosaga, Adi, Kasurbege, Chidungi Shabas or Shabayina, Adi, Asiatic, Kakjari, Kakjari digi, and Kaja Kaksamgi, Tonsandi, Kaja Kaksamgi, Tunin Shayungi, Saturday Yindu, Sanja Jumden Lady, and Tongbanigi, Yingle.
With with regard to the statement that the perfect Buddhas arise from the letter A, and that the letter A is the supreme of all letters or syllables, if we give a general explanation of this, the syllable A is a negative particle, and it indicates the absence of inherent existence, that emptiness which is the absence of inherent existence. Thus, So the defilements in one's continuum are extinguished in the sphere of reality, which is the emptiness of inherent existence. Thus, when it says that the perfect Buddhas arise from A, this means that Buddhas arise from meditating on the emptiness of inherent existence. And similarly also, because the syllable A indicates this emptiness of inherent existence, it is the supreme of means of expression.
So, Tadi, Tadi Tunda, Kasur Pigi, Nga Tanga, Toshita, Tanga, Nejo Lamigita, looked up Jenny, Ta Shabina, any Zoba Sanya Alejum Saga, Adi, Otum Michigi, Tigli, Dishani, or Te, any.
Then in terms of the supreme form of Tantra, highest yoga Tantra, the letter A can refer to the short A, which is the indestructible drop. Because in the highest yoga tantra system, Buddhahood arises from concentratedly emphasizing or putting emphasis on this indestructible drop. Perfect Buddhahood arises from that drop. And because a Buddha's body has the nature of the indestructible drop, it is said that the perfect Buddhas arise from the letter A.
So then
what is the indestructible drop? It has the nature, or it is an entity of the undifferentiable, very subtle wind or inner energy and mind. Mind is that factor which comprehends or knows objects, whereas wind, or the inner energy, is the factor that causes the mind to move or pay attention to certain objects. Thus, our various consciousnesses, as well as conceptuality, operate within a system of mind and inner energy, or wind, as one entity.
The modern, the latest scientific
Since in modern science there's a great deal of investigation about energy waves and so forth associated with the brain, I feel that there's a great basis for common analysis working together with regard to this relationship between mind and the inner energies.
That didn't really shape at the Korsati Korang Mo any Sugjan to Modruba. Cut out the evening, that had a Sugjan Kondo and Modruba, Sugjan told to meeting it. Any can the tell you do you to the tail number get to gain. Any Rang Mo, Rixum, Sazam with Dany. That didn't seem very.
The entity of consciousness is without anything physical. It doesn't have any of the obstructiveness of physical things. When it meets with certain conditions, it's able to illuminate or appear as any object. And its entity is of mere luminosity and knowing or cognition.
That didn't just seem to Kakaso, Kiziki, Dududua, or gender training, number dumb and the Shaju Yetavish, Chayon, Indu, T, Karta, Tabaslona, some like you ever digi, some to Yinjala, everything to
the mind changes from moment to moment according to causes and conditions, and the fact that it is so changeable indicates that it depends upon causes and conditions, that it is under the other influence of causes and conditions.
So today in this anet,
with respect to causes, there are substantial causes and cooperative conditions. In terms of the substantial cause of a mind arises in dependence upon a former mind, which means that there has to be an earlier beginningless continuation of mind. It would be extremely absurd if for the production of a mind it did not need to depend upon former moments of mind, but could just be adventitiously produced. Thus, in this way, we speak about the continuum or continuation of the mind. Thus, it is within terms of this continuation or continuum of the mind that change and transformation of the mind can be brought about. Now, since the nature of the mind is clear light, all faulty states of mind have as their background as their motivating condition, ignorance, either as a as an associated simultaneous factor, or as an earlier assister. Thus, all faulty states of mind are based on and depend upon ignorance. And ignorance is a consciousness that is mistaken with respect to the object that it is getting at, its referent object. And it has no valid cognition as its foundation. Therefore, Dharmakirti said in his commentary on Dignaga's compendium on valid cognition that since since minds of ignorance do not have any valid foundation, but minds of wisdom and insight have valid foundation, when one gets used to the latter minds, becomes accustomed to the correct consciousnesses more and more, the ignorant and wrong or faulty states of consciousness diminish and decrease less and less. As long as the wisdom consciousness has a mode of apprehension which is directly contradictory to the mode of apprehension of the wisdom consciousness, therefore, by getting used to wisdom, ignorance decreases and decreases until finally it is extinguished. Just as externally with heat and cold, the dominance of they oppose each other, and the dominance comes about by way of the strength of the one or the other. So it is internally with respect to conceptuality, the minds that have a mode of apprehension that are directly contradictory to each other are such that when the one is familiarized with more, the other one lessens in strength. Thus, with this continuum of the mind, it can be seen that it is possible through generating the antidotes to mistaken or faulty states of mind to remove those faulty states of mind. They are removable. Now we speak of the mind and the reality of the mind. The mind is the entity of mind, the clear knowing nature itself, and the reality of the mind is its emptiness of inherent existence. thus the mind is a conventional truth, and the emptiness of inherent existence of the mind, the reality of the mind, is an ultimate truth. Thus these two truths are contained within one entity with regard to one base, the mind. Just as there is a union of the two truths, conventional and ultimate, with respect to the mind, so there is a union of the two truths with respect to each and every phenomenon, its appearance and its as the conventional truth, and its emptiness of inherent existence as the ultimate truth. Thus it is said that the basis or ground is the two truths. The objective fact is that the mind and all other phenomena have this union of the two truths. Then from the point of view of coming to know the reality of the mind, this is established or proved through dependent arising. Because the mind is a dependent arising, it is empty of inherent existence. Thus, any appearance. Thus, since every phenomenon is a union of the two truths, this sort of understanding of the union of the two truths must be brought about in one's own consciousness, understanding. Every appearance is a case of an ineluctable dependent arising. And it is in terms of these appearances of conventional phenomena that the factor of compassionate method is taught. Because there are many forms of these appearances, they are referred to as the vast, the varieties of phenomena. Whereas the emptiness of inherent existence of these phenomena is said to be profound, free from conceptual elaborations, and of one taste. And it is on the basis of emptiness that the stages of the profound path are taught. It is through meditating on the two truths in an inseparable